o'clock hour of William's House begins now. It's good to be alive right about now. And it begins with a question that I don't remember what my answer would even be to it. What were your expectations for Amari Rodgers last year?
Not much.
Right off the bat after the draft, not much?
Like, I thought being a punt returner, kind of a Swerve and Irvin type, jet sweeps, those type of things, because I think when you looked at last year's receiving corps, it was kind of set. Yeah, you had
Cobb wasn't there yet.
Kind of had a hunch Cobb might be coming. Once Cobb got there, it really got to be, well, anything you get from him, develop, get comfortable, be a special teams beast. That didn't happen. So I actually think, Amari Rodgers should be more comfortable. We'll see. I don't know if he's going to bring anything, you know, with Randall Cobb coming back, which I don't think any of us thought Randall Cobb. I'm sort of surprised Randall Cobb is back, but I shouldn't be. Those two are very similar. He's younger. Remember, everybody's, he's going to stifle the development of Amari Rodgers. Well, we'll see. We'll see if Amari Rodgers develops. Hopefully, it's because of Randall Cobb that he's going to make that step. But I don't think anybody's counting on him for a lot of big things this year either. He'll be a complete surprise, a pleasant surprise, if he is able to do something.
We don't think that Randall Cobb stifled his development last year.
No, I don't.
Amari Rodgers stifled Amari Rodgers' development last year. He didn't make the jump yet.
Confidence. Well, he didn't have any confidence.
No. Jesse, you have a text about Amari Rodgers, too.
Pete in Maguanago on the First Midwest Bank talking text line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. And I'm not sure if Pete's the one who's been texting for the last, 2 weeks leading up to the draft about Amari Rodgers. There have been several texts. We haven't gotten at the conversation about him yet. But Pete captures it here with this text. Can you speak to the effect Amari Rodgers can potentially have on this season, and what is his ceiling?
I think his ceiling is high. I mean, if you're a high draft pick coming into a scenario where you didn't get a ton done in your rookie year, you couldn't ask for a better situation to be in than this one. You have no number one receiver set. You have all kinds of opportunities in an offense that is right now looking at how are we going to be effective. And if Amari Rodgers is all of a sudden, can run good option routes and he shows a little burst, you get him into some of that jet sweep, Deebo Samuel type stuff, he has all kinds of opportunities ahead of him. So his ceiling is still high, but not if it looks like what it looked like the back end of last year. He wasn't even really getting on the field. There was no confidence from his coaches. There was no confidence from himself. And if you don't believe me, just watch him return punts. It was ugly. So now he gets the offseason. He gets a full offseason of work. Gets to do all the IPWs and OTAs and mini camps. This is a big year for him. When you're talking about a draft pick from last year that didn't get a ton of run, you better show some stuff, and I would be shocked if by the end of June, whenever the mini camp is done, we're not hearing a lot of positive things about Amari Rodgers. Because if you're not, oof. This is his year. He needs to make that jump. He needs to find a role on this football team, whatever it is. Because right now the receiving core is a complete blank slate. Everybody can find and go grab the role that they want to fit and then build off of that. And that's what I think Packer fans and the coaches are hoping for from Amari Rodgers. But you can only go off of when you're talking about expectations and everything else. If you're looking at what he did last year, he's got a low ceiling. He's got a low ceiling right now. But that doesn't mean potential. He can't get better. Devontae got better. Every receiver worth a lick has made big jumps from year one to year two and then year two to year three because you get more comfortable, you have a better understanding of what is expected of you, and then you just go out and play football. Way too much thinking last year from Amari Rodgers.
All right, I would like to take some calls on this because I don't think the poll question necessarily fits the what I'm trying to get at here. Because I want to understand where Packers fans' expectations are for Christian Watson. Because there's a number of factors that go into that. There's his background as an FCS player. There's the Packers' history of rookie wide receivers not being productive with Aaron Rodgers. On the flip side, there is the desperate need for him to be more productive than those other rookie receivers, as Dan Orlovsky, stealing from something that I've been saying for weeks, points out. They had established number one wide receivers when all those guys were rookies. There's also the factor of he will have more opportunities than those rookies had. Those are opportunities to succeed, but also opportunities to fail and have your confidence get rattled a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, at some point you got to jump in.
Right, but at some point it's not opening day necessarily.
I think for him it needs to be. I don't think Amari Rodgers is going to get if he. I think he needs to make a step and get into this rotation, because unless there's injuries, you get passed by quickly. You got to remember, there's not just one wideout in this rookie group. You have to. What I think people don't fully comprehend is they're always looking to replace you. If you haven't established yourself, they drafted Romeo. There's probably a couple of undrafted free agents in there, and that's not to say that they're going to jump Amari Rodgers, but Amari Rodgers is at that point in his career, and it's only a year. But as I've said numerous times, it isn't just a year. These are dog years, man. You have to produce. There is no more redshirting or unless you're a top-end athlete. You don't perform, you're gone. Or you're relegated, and then you have to hope or wait for an injury to get in. There's not a, let's wait and see how Amari is doing. Amari better have a good OTA, a good mini camp, and get some confidence so the coaches start trusting him and his quarterback starts trusting him. Or, let's see this next guy. Let's get him reps. Let's get him work. He hadn't showed us anything yet. And unless you grab that punt return job, which I don't think he's going to get, you get forgotten quickly in this business.
Well, and look, let's be realistic, too, because you played with a guy in David Martin who every year was outstanding without pads on in the OTAs and minicamp, and every year we wrote about how he was going to be a huge threat for the offense, and he and Bubba Franks were going to have this great tandem at tight end. And then David, very nice fellow, would never be productive once the season started. He would have occasional flashes.
Yeah, but he wasn't asked to be the guy.
I understand. And so when I look, I want to separate these two things out, because we talked about Amari Rodgers. I want to get back to what fans are expecting of Christian Watson, because I'm curious when we look at, as I again said, on one hand, more opportunities than any rookie's ever gotten. Whoever it is, right? Because, look, Romeo could be that guy who takes them by storm. Samari Toure is a seventh-round pick. Hey, MVS was a fifth-round pick, and he had 38 catches as a rookie. And he had two other rookies in his draft class, and he was the one who got the most opportunities. So there will be more opportunities here than other past rookies. There are more expectations. You're right. But at the same time, what I want to understand about fans and how they view Christian Watson is they also know Aaron Rodgers' history with rookie wide receivers. And fans also know that this guy is coming from the FCS level, and it's less likely that he's going to be able to be super productive than if he was coming from the SEC. So as a Packers fan, where do you have sky-high expectations for Christian Watson right now today for 2022? Or are you tempering those, knowing the history of wide receivers and his background? 844-770-3776 is the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line. 844-770-3776. That is the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. So here's how I phrase the poll. As we debate how high the initial expectations will be for the organization and the fans for rookie wide receiver Christian Watson, let's put it this way. As a Packers fan, who do you believe will be more productive this season at wide receiver? We have 93 votes in the first 5 minutes. 65% Christian Watson, 35% Sammy Watkins. Is that about what you would expect in a poll like this? Or do you think that's a little lower for Christian Watson than you were even anticipating?
No, I think that, you know what? I had not thought, I guess, the same light. You guys actually brought the Sammy Watkins to me. I would have never guessed that you're expecting a veteran of 8 years, whilst he was a top pick, that's been injury riddled and coming off of a very average to below average season, that you would have higher expectations for him than the first wideout that the Packers have taken, you know, second round pick with the talent that he has. I was just surprised, but maybe I shouldn't have been, because Rodgers and his past history and all of the understanding, but he didn't have a history of Sammy Watkins either.
You're right.
This isn't, and for as much as everybody's paid Sammy Watkins, and he's, you know, number four overall pick, whatever, 7-8 years ago, I don't think he's viewed as some really great route runner. I think people view him as he was a burner. He is a big play guy. I don't think that they view him in the same. I mean, I don't think he's never been close to what a Devontae Adams or. And we're
no
not
doubt.
Trying. It's not a fair comp. But to sit and act like, well, you know what? Let's just snap him up, pay him $1 million, and expect him to go out and be our leading receiver? I can't
get my head wrapped around that. Back up a second, because I intentionally did not include Alan Lazard in this discussion. If you're asking me who I think is going to be their most productive wide receiver, I'm going to say Alan Lazard, aren't you?
I 1,000% would say Alan Lazard.
Yeah. Like, look, this is not an either-or for who is going to be their leading receiver. I felt like you and I, and we do, as it turns out, would agree on that. Look, he came on strong late last season while Devontae was playing on his team. Mm-hmm. Now, can he take his game to the next level without Devontae drawing all that attention? We'll find out. But Alan Lazard showed enough down the stretch and enough in the one game against New Orleans that you brought up earlier that I'm not including him in this debate. To me, he's the clear-cut guy
that
I expect to be.
Correct me if I'm wrong, he's not on the roster yet.
No, technically not, although the window has closed for signing restricted free agents. So
yeah.
He just hasn't signed his tender yet.
Yeah, I think from an expectation standpoint, there is no doubt in my mind, fan-wise, I think this is the disconnect. Fan-wise, there's a much higher expectation for Christian Watson than there's Sammy Watkins.
Agreed.
And I think in that building, with between Rodgers, Goot, and LaFleur, the expectation is that Sammy Watkins is going to be a more productive player than Christian Watson in the 22 season. I would disagree vehemently with that, and I hope that's not the case. But I don't know.
Yeah, as you like to say, literally the position that I'm saying. That's how they view him versus how the fans view him. We will see how fans view these expectations and what theirs are of Christian Watson. Again, 844-770-3776. That is the First Midwest Bank talk and text line, 844-770-3776. We'll continue the discussion next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio. Girl, you don't want, I want to. And if you want me, girl, you got me. There's nothing I know I wouldn't do. I wouldn't do. Just to get up next to you. Girl, you don't want, I want to. And if you want me,
of all the things that I'm frequently guilty of, many of which drive you up the wall, I get it. I do think one of them is I want to believe the best in people, and I want to believe that we can be reasonable in our expectations for someone who is being put in a pressure situation, which is what Christian Watson, as you pointed out, is being put into, at least for some fans, because their expectations are going to be high. But the poll has tightened up considerably. It's now 58-42, so it was 65-35 before. Who do you think will be more productive this season at wide receiver? Christian Watson still has 58% of the vote, but we're at 600 votes.
Who gets more snaps?
Well, again, I think we have to look at the entirety of the 17-game season.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I think you're right. By the end of the year, you would love for Christian Watson to have reached a point where he's playing more than Sammy Watkins, and Sammy Watkins is the complimentary piece. I still think that the Packers are going to believe, like many other NFL teams and many other NFL quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers will look at Sammy Watkins and say, yeah, his production has been intermittent in his career, but he ain't never had a friend like me. He ain't never had a quarterback like me.
He had Patrick Mahomes.
He did.
Just for the record.
Right.
I think he had Josh Allen, too.
I don't think he had Josh Allen.
I don't think he had Josh Allen.
I think he did.
Yeah, it'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Could you imagine a guy playing for all three of those quarterbacks and still bouncing around the league?
Oh, and Lamar Jackson was an MVP.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, and there's no doubt Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, with their system and old boys' talent, thinks that they can... You know, if you have good physical skills, which obviously Sammy Watkins does, or you don't get picked fourth overall, you do think that you can get more out of him than everybody else. And sometimes that's true. Most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, and when you're starting to deal with guys in the back end of their career, and I know Sammy Watkins is still a young guy in the real world, he's not that young in the professional world.
No, he's not.
The fact that he does have a one-year prove-it deal and that he's going to be completely rejuvenated, those are all great things. And I hope Sammy Watkins balls out as a Pro Bowler. That'd be fantastic. But if you're banking on that, I just think it's a risky proposition. But the beautiful part from Green Bay's end, it doesn't cost you. It's popcorn sales is what they're paying him.
And you don't think it's risky, it's any more risky or less risky to rely on Christian Watson to go from FCS to being a 1,000-yard receiver?
That's a good question.
Thanks. Ryan and Maguana go via the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed, and then we'll get to your calls, 844-770-3776. Currently, I say Watkins. The veteran has a big advantage. You could see two different halves of the season. Watkins could own the first half, but Watson could own the second half. That's what you're saying, is that you come on during the second half of the year. And if that happens, I think the Packers will be thrilled. But out of the gate, I would hope that the expectation for Watson is tempered. I would hope that. I would hope reality would reign. But I'm not sure that it will. 844-770-3776. Let's talk to Hunter in Milwaukee. Hunter, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Good. Where are your expectations?
So, if we have to decide between either one of them, I would have to say Sammy Watkins. I mean, you guys hit it right on the head from the beginning. Christian Watson's a rookie, and rookies tend to not have amazing seasons. And I think, fan-wise, the pressure of, you know, we want him to be good. We want him to be, you know, amazing right off the bat. Of course I want that, but realistically I don't see that happening. Now, I don't see Sammy Watkins having a 1,000-yard season either. We signed him,
agreed,
like Tausch said, for popcorn sales. A million bucks. It's nothing. We're hoping he has a good season, but just kind of an added piece. I think the biggest pressure is on Amari Rodgers, like you guys were talking about earlier. I mean, he has to have a breakout season if he wants to stay relevant on the Green Bay Packers. That's just the end of that, I think. But, I mean, again, hope for Christian Watson to have an amazing season. Realistically, do I think it's going to happen? No.
Thanks for the call. That's a great – I do think Amari Rodgers has more pressure on him than Christian Watson. I do.
Wow.
because of what your point was earlier about being to stay relevant and to stay on the roster.
Christian Watson's going to be. Quickly. Let me tell you something. Christian Watson's going to be on this team 3 years from now, regardless, because unless he's injured or something like. He'd have to fall off a cliff of monumental proportions, which I don't think anybody thinks is going to happen. Amari Rodgers, what was he, a third-round pick?
He was. Even Jay Sternberger got 2 years.
No, he's getting – I'm not saying he's not going to get this year. Amari Rodgers will be on the team, A, because there's – you know, there ain't enough bodies. But, B, even if he struggles, he'll be on the team this year. But he will be passed by, and then next year, if he really doesn't do something, he's gone. The pressure is on for him to perform and grab a spot in this league, or he's going to be a journeyman. He'll be bouncing around. This is his offseason. This, with the opportunities that will be afforded him, he needs to pop and showcase himself in a big way. So while his expectations won't be where Christian Watson's are, I think for his career arc, the pressure's on Amari Rodgers more than any of these other, because for as much as my expectations are, Christian Watson's going to be a good football player. It's going to take him a little time, but I hope that he'll have a Devontae-like rookie season where he'll make some big impact plays when he's your third wideout, or he, you know, he clears space by, you know, being a vertical threat. Whatever it is, he finds his role. Amari Rodgers' role is very similar to Randall Cobb's. Right? I mean, that's kind of, we view them very similarly.
Right, and wouldn't you like to see what we just talked about with Watson vis-a-vis Watkins be the same case with Cobb and Rodgers? That maybe early in the season, Cobb is still playing more, but Amari Rodgers comes on, and by midway through the season, it's hard to keep him off the field because of the things he's doing?
I want Randall Cobb's snaps pretty limited. I don't want him playing 60 snaps a game. I want him in that 30 category. I want him out there on third downs. Make sure Randall Cobb is available on third downs. I'm not interested in him digging out a safety on run plays. I'm not interested. I think Randall Cobb's snap count needs to be 25 to 30 snaps a game. I'm not interested in him playing 50 or 60.
No, I would agree.
And if that means, you know, Lazard, I think Lazard needs to be the workhorse. He needs to be the do-it-all guy. And then I think I would hope Christian Watson by middle of the season is a 40 to 50 snap a game guy. I think that's the goal. And then Sammy Watkins, we don't know. I hope that there's another guy that pops, because right now I'm not in awe of what this room looks like.
And right now, I am not in the crowd that's going to write off Amari Rodgers. I'm nowhere near that. His first year was...
Nobody's writing him off. I'm saying he better go.
No, I'm not saying you are. I'm saying I think there are fans that have already written him off. I do.
I don't know how you could write him off. Now, he's had 1 year. That rookie year is a complete crapshoot. We all know that. Now, if his confidence is down and where he's at, then I'm worried about it. But this is a monster offseason and preseason.
No doubt.
Training camp, the whole bit. He needs to showcase that he's elevated himself from where he was.
And we need to chill. We need to chill with our expectations. We need to chill with our debates. And there's only one way to chill.
Well, I ain't chilling with expectations about this team winning a championship. I'll tell you that. I'll chill a little bit about Christian Watson, but we got to go. It's go time for there, and it's go time if you need to chill. Coors Light brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill the mountains. Oh, baby, the mountains on Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans. They turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. Bunch of nice Coors Lights up at Duluth/Superior. I never got Jesse's Twin Cities of Wisconsin. I can't wait to hear what that is. I can't wait to get a Coors Light in my hand this weekend for the Derby and for everything else that's going on. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Easy answer.
Yeah, I don't think there's an easy answer for Wisconsin's version of the Twin Cities of Minneapolis. I don't think there is that easy answer. I can't wait to hear what it might be.
Well, you're going to just have to keep waiting, because we keep telling you it's Nina and Menasha, which are known as the Twin Cities of Wisconsin, and you just won't accept that
Nina
answer.
And Menasha are not our Twin Cities. They're not.
That is not my answer.
Yeah. Nina, Menasha?
They're the twins.
Wyawega Fremont? Delavan Darien? I mean, just because you put two names together doesn't mean it's the Twin Cities of the state of Wisconsin.
We will get to bold Bob Domofsky's post-draft biggest need for the Green Bay Packers. And Jesse will have his own Twin Cities. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Understand what you're trying to argue here, because otherwise I'm just going to keep banging my head against the wall. Because there's a bunch of companies in the Menasha and Neenah area that call themselves Twin Cities Plumbing, the Twin Cities Motel, Twin Cities Monuments, Twin Cities Little League. They consider themselves the Twin Cities of Wisconsin.
There's well, even a book I consider about myself an Adonis. Does that make it right? No. I mean, you can't give yourself monikers.
What are your qualifications versus theirs? At least their cities are right next to each other.
Well, I think they need to be two cities of stature that you don't necessarily need to have a river that breaks them up. I think that obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, is that part of why the Twin Cities in Minneapolis and St. Paul?
No, the Mississippi River is the border of Minnesota and Wisconsin.
I understand that.
No,
don't you dare. Don't
that's
you.
Not, that's not true.
Go ahead, Jason. Smuggy McGee over there trying to... There's a river that runs there.
It runs between the Twin Cities, like it does.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm
what?
Trying to help. Yeah, it's the St. Croix River that when you cross the river to go from Hudson into Minnesota, that's the St. Croix River you're crossing.
But the Mississippi's by La Crosse when you're heading into Minnesota.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
We're talking about the Twin Cities every time.
All right, now back to you and your qualifications for your Twin Cities of Auburndale and Marshfield.
No, that's not what I'm saying. And I, you know, maybe it is Neenah and Menasha because they call themselves, they've staked their claim and that's what it is. Maybe that is. I just, when up in Superior and you go across that bridge, and boy, she's windy on that bridge, to Duluth, Duluth isn't Wisconsin. So what's the next best thing in Wisconsin of cities, and it's not Delavan Darien or Wyawega Fremont, just because you have your high schools. Is there two cities that are, they don't need to necessarily be river and or lake adjacent? I think Appleton, Green Bay are probably two from a power center, from a population center. Green Bay, Appleton, I think is probably right there. Or I know that's...
They're not as close together as Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Well, that could be fraternal twins.
Now that's a good line. Jesse... Do you have, other than well, not knowing where the Mississippi
Jesse's
River is?
Jesse's teased this for 3 days. What is yours?
Well, first of all, it's been a day and a half.
Feels like three.
It's only Tuesday, Tausch, and you only presented it to us at about this time yesterday. The correct answer to Wisconsin's version of the Twin Cities, two cities, population-wise, that are both in the top nine in the state of Wisconsin, both considered to be in the same general region of the state, separated by just a few minutes.
I'm intrigued.
Just a short drive.
I know what
drive.
He's
going to
say.
I don't think you do.
I don't buy it. I'm not with them on it.
Appleton and Oshkosh.
Okay.
The Twin Cities of Wisconsin. They are near
and you got
identical.
You got the big air deal that kind of separates. That could be your river.
Big air deal. The EAA.
Not exactly a middle point, but it's pretty much Oshkosh for the EAA. But 41, nice alternative to the EAA.
Okay.
Is what, combines
I was thinking Minocqua
cities.
Eagle River is another kind of a viable
what about
option.
Racine Kenosha. Yeah.
Racine Kenosha is a good one.
That would be my second.
Racine Kenosha.
Second. Okay. Also, honorable mention for Sauk City and Prairie du Sac.
Now,
since they combined to make the high school Sauk Prairie.
Okay.
Not
there's
big
a river.
Enough, though.
There is a river up there, too.
St. Croix, I'm pretty sure. Not big enough, though, to be the qualifications for Wisconsin's official Twin Cities.
I'm on board with you with your monikering of Appleton Oshkosh. I think from a population
standpoint. You just tried to do Appleton Green Bay yourself.
Yeah, I was wrong. I'm not always right. I'm not always right. Appleton and Oshkosh is definitely closer than Appleton and Green Bay. For
and
sure.
You think that you would qualify Appleton Oshkosh as a smaller version of Minneapolis and St. Paul, but you wouldn't allow Neenah Menasha, even though they're roughly the same size.
Neenah Menasha are not the same size as Appleton and Oshkosh.
As each other. No, as each other. Yeah. Which I'm pretty sure Appleton is appreciably larger than Oshkosh, but we'll have to fact check that. But you're on board. Appleton Oshkosh is your
Twin Cities, because I feel like La Crosse feels to me like it should be a part of a Twin City. Eau Claire feels like it should be part of a Twin City.
La Crosse and Eau Claire would need to be closer.
They're too
to
far
one
apart. Agree.
They are sister cities, but
what
they
about
are not
is there something
cities?
Prairie du Chien-ish? Something by Prairie du Chien, because I do like the idea of water being involved, because obviously that's a big piece of the Twin Cities. Prairie du Chien's probably too small. I feel like Neenah Menasha is one spot, though. Like, I don't feel like it's two spots.
All right, last question on this, and then we'll get to a call and a text. Can you be Twin Cities that are sharing a border and you're in different states?
Well, that would be Duluth and Superior.
Right, because that's how we started this, because then I would follow up by asking, could La Crosse and Rochester, Minnesota...
That's an hour apart, though, bro.
Are they that far apart?
Yeah, I've done that drive many times. That's definitely all of an hour. My brother, it's about an hour and 45 minutes. For me, it's about an hour and 10.
Dan in Brothertown, Texas.
Uh-oh.
Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls.
Yeah.
They're not even top 10 cities,
though. We're trying to force this.
I'm not forcing it. I'm intrigued by it. I feel like Sheboygan needs to be in this conversation, too. It's, again, by the water.
With Kohler?
I don't know. I'm intrigued. Sheboygan's
desperately want Twin Cities in Wisconsin.
I do.
You'd have to go across the Lake Michigan. You'd have to go to, like, what's on the western part of Michigan?
Something in the UP over there that we could maybe do a little grabbage. Do a little grabbage from Michigan.
Let's take a call. Are we taking calls on this? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I got to go answer the second call right now.
That's a twin call.
Before you answer that one, let's go to Rick in Madison. Rick, good morning. Welcome to the Twin Cities of Wilde and Tausch.
Good morning, guys. I just got done with work, and so I was in my car, and I heard you talking about a couple things. So 2 points. The Twin Cities of Wisconsin, maybe it's Madison and Monona, or Madison and Middleton.
Okay.
Just a consideration.
Yep. They're trying. You guys are trying too hard.
Listen, trying too hard. Don't just poo-poo everybody. Let them speak, and then we'll decipher. It's a tough sell. Rick's a tough
They're
sell.
They're in the same metro area.
I understand. I'm not saying he's right, but he has a voice. Okay, what else, Rick?
The other thing is that you guys were talking about the Mississippi and, you know, the border. And, Jason, you're right. It's the St. Croix, and then it's the Mississippi. But just to blow your minds, did you guys know that the Mississippi goes north?
Wow.
What?
How does that happen? Tell us the science on that.
So I did my undergraduate at Bemidji State University.
Good hockey school. Good hockey school.
Basketball, too.
Yep. Yeah. And the source of the Mississippi River is called Elk Lake. And it is, I mean, you can walk across it, but it goes north through a couple lakes and then crosses Bemidji, which is where the name comes from, Bemidji, because it means a river that crosses the lake. And then it goes east and then down towards Brainerd and then eventually ends up in Minneapolis and St. Paul. But it does go north, so that's a good trivia question for you guys.
Hey, so Rick, before we let you go, so there is Elk Lake is your center point, and then you're telling me the Mississippi flows north into Canada, and then it also flows south from Elk Lake?
No.
What are you telling me then?
It starts in Elk Lake,
yeah,
and it goes north to Bemidji.
But it flows
and
north.
And then it crosses.
It's like a hop, skip,
correct,
and a jump.
That's fat. Is that the only,
correct,
river that does that? That goes north and south.
I'm not sure,
Jesse.
But probably.
I didn't even know Jesse to fact check that.
I didn't even know it was the St. Croix.
No, but the St. Croix does.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I love the fact Rick brought some knowledge. Thanks for the call,
love
Rick.
You guys.
That was. I'm always. I love to be informed. I didn't know that. I didn't.
Got a text. Janesville and Beloit being the twin cities.
Pretty far apart, though.
God, we're trying so hard.
Pretty
Let's take
apart.
Another call on our Twin Cities. Let's talk to Tim in Middleton, which is the twin city of Cross Plains. Tim, good morning.
Exactly.
Welcome.
Well, here's the first thing. I'm from Minneapolis and St. Paul. They're like the most opposite twin cities. I'm from Minneapolis most of the time, and St. Paul was kind of a bum. But here, Lake
Tim, did you know the Mississippi River flows north?
Yeah. No, it comes from Lake Itasca, and there's a park, and you walk across some stones, and you said you crossed the Mississippi. It's Lake Itasca State Park, okay? Let's get that one straight.
Trivia battle between Ray.
I had to help you on that, but I also worked in Neenah, Manasseh, and that is like one little thing. I can't tell the difference between. I worked at Gilbert Paper, a 120-year-old paper factory that leaked water everywhere, but now it's too small of a twin city. But Minneapolis, Leslie, you're from Minneapolis. They know St. Paul. Anyways.
All right, stops at the notion. Tim, before we get any further, though, having spent time at the leaky paper mill, you would agree, yeah, that the denizens of Menasha and Neenah do consider that to be the Twin Cities. Whether we think they should have that title or not, that's how they view it, right?
It's okay. It's a cute little town. It's old. It's neat, you know, but I don't know.
Garcia it.
If you blink, you might miss it.
It's a cute story and all. Thanks for the call, Tim. We appreciate it. But they're fraudulent twin cities.
Okay, so am I mistaken now? So it's not Elk Lake that is the divider of the Mississippi up there. It is now what? Onizaka?
I think he said Itasca. We'll get out our topographical maps, and we'll figure things out on this.
I think Racine and Kenosha are twin cities. The more I think about it, they are right next to each other. Racine, Kenosha is our leader in the clubhouse.
No, they're a good second place. Appleton, Oshkosh.
There is a big divider, though. I don't think there's that big divide between Racine and Kenosha, but I could be wrong.
We need to play trivia.
Now Dave in Heartland says the Nile flows north.
Oh, boy.
This is getting to be a muddy situation.
What is the Amazon?
Wait, are we... Is this really happening? Like, the Twin Cities, like, their baseball team is called the Twins. Like, yeah, they're the only ones that are really all in on Twin Cities, other than maybe Fargo and Moorhead.
No.
Yeah, there are
maybe
Twin Cities.
I don't know North Dakota as well. I am intrigued. I feel like the Fox Valley's representation needs to be Twin Cities. That's the only reason I'm kind of pushing back. But Racine, Kenosha's, yeah.
What about the Quad Cities?
Oh, God.
We need to play trivia. Jesse, tell me it is twin trivia about, like, the Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
The Olsons. It's got to be.
Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Which Badgers NFL rookie am I? similar to yesterday.
Are there any twins that are on there?
I don't know. You're going to have to wait.
I always thought you were really good at tying stuff together. This is a little bit of a miss by you.
Greg via Facebook, Cedarburg and Grafton.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Not big enough, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to be metropolitan.
All right, we definitely need to play trivia.
Marinette and Menominee suggested
Stop!
By many people.
Wisconsin Dells Reedsburg could also be in play. They're probably not, maybe not big enough, but.
Brian, Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids, and Marshfield.
Yeah, that's the Tri-City. Yeah, if we're doing Tri-City.
Oh, very clearly.
There is your triangle. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You can throw Wausau in there for your quad.
Yeah, that's easy.
That's your quad cities.
Easy, yep.
Caller 2 right now for the Twin Cities. Caller 2 right now. Will Dean's House Trivia, 844-770-3776. We'll play next. It's Will Dean's House.
You're listening to Will Dean's House on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
For trivia, let's welcome in our contestants from the Twin Cities of Racine and Kenosha. It is Jeff and Racine. Jeff, good morning. Do you consider Racine and Kenosha Twin Cities?
Oh, absolutely. We have a term down here. We call ourselves either Renosha or Kenosine.
Oh, I like Kenosine better.
Yeah, rolls right off the tongue.
Kenosine.
Well, I'm not sure I like either one, but I do like your chances for keeping our perfect week alive. Let's get started in the category, which Badgers NFL rookie am I? Question one. I am an undrafted free agent wide receiver who signed with the Green Bay Packers. Perhaps my most impressive college performance was scoring 3 touchdowns in Wisconsin's Orange Bowl win against Miami in 2017. Turnover chain, my you-know-what. And I am hashtag scheduled to appear this afternoon on Rutledge and Hamilton on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Which Badgers NFL rookie am I? Am I Jack Dunn, Danny Davis, or Bo Callahan?
I'll go with Danny Davis.
Perfect. Wee!
Oh, Jeff and Racine Kenosha. Kenosine.
Kenosine.
Who am I? One pick after Leo Chanel was selected in the third round by the Kansas City Chiefs, I was selected to join two other former Badgers in my position group for the reigning Super Bowl champions. Which Badgers NFL rookie am I? Is it Matt Henningsen, Jack Sanborn, or Logan Bruss?
Oh, here goes the perfect week. I'll say the first one.
You know when you've got a perfect week going and Jesse goes to the drum roll that it's leading to the ha 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 ha.
Yeah, I knew I was doomed.
Logan Bruss. All right, let's bounce back with a question that I'm not sure I even knew. In fact, I know I didn't know. So good luck to you, Jeff. Question 3. Former Badgers quarterback Jack Cohn and I both signed as undrafted free agents with the Indianapolis Colts. Which Badgers NFL rookie am I? Am I Caesar Williams, Josh Seitzner, or Kendrick Pryor?
I'm going to go Josh. Oh, God.
it, and it actually is good. Jesse, these were tough. Considering how many Badgers got drafted, this was tough. But, Jeff, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. 3 out of 4 entries ain't bad. Nice work, and good luck in the draft. Yeah, indeed. That is what,
yeah, thank you very much.
R.I.P. Thanks, Jeff. From the Twin Cities of Racine and Kenosha. We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour, during which we will play Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure and talk to our friend Sophia Minert. So stick around. It's Wildey and Tausch.